following audio is from The Exchange Church. More information is available at theexchangemi.com.
Good morning. Thank you. Good morning. Well, it's been that encouragement this week that has really kept me going. I can't tell you how many times different people have told me that they are praying for me, praying that God's word would be understood and that I'd be able to present it today in a way that was clear to you guys. Something that was contrary to that was I had some of my stuff out at work and somebody asked me what I was doing, if I was writing a book or something, and I told them I was preaching on Sunday and they were not impressed. So thank you very much for your support. Some of this work that I'll be doing today is not mine. Much of this outline was done by Joe Swords, and I wanted to give him credit for that. Second, I'd like to give credit for the three men who wrote the book. It was an exposition book, and Exalting Jesus in Timothy and Titus. And the three men that wrote the book were David Platt, Daniel Atkin, and Tony Miranda. And Chris, I also want to thank him. He helped me review a lot of my notes here. And finally, I'd like to thank and praise our Lord Jesus Christ for the book of Timothy and his power to strengthen the Apostle Paul to write these words and protect them so that we have them today. The series title that we are in has been Faithfully Suffering for the Gospel. And I'd just like to take a minute to refresh our minds about this series. We have the Apostle Paul, who is a spiritual father to Timothy, writing some of his last words as he is in jail. Timothy is in Ephesus, working in a difficult church, and there's a lot of false teaching going on. But Paul and Timothy have been suffering as they tell others about Jesus, who was sinless, died, rose again the third day, and then ascended into heaven. As Paul is suffering, he seems to be ever more focused on his Savior. Let's read a few of his letters and hear what Paul is saying about his life. In your Bibles, in the chair backs, it's page 981. It's Philippians 3, Philippians chapter 3. We're going to be reading verses 8 through 14. Philippians chapter 3, verses 8 through 14. Paul says, "Indeed, I count everything a loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. For his sake, I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish in order that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but which comes through faith in Christ, the righteousness from God that depends on faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection, and may share in his sufferings, being like him in his death, that by any means possible I may attain the resurrection from the dead. Not that I have already obtained this, or am already perfect, but I press on to make it my own, because Christ Jesus has made me his own. Brothers, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press toward the goal, the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus." And then just listen as I read a few more of Paul's final words before he leaves this earth. In Acts 20:24, Paul says, "But I do not count my life of any value, nor as precious to myself, if only I may finish my course and the ministry that I received from the Lord Jesus to testify to the gospel of the grace of God." Philippians 2:17, we're getting even closer, says, "Even if I am poured out as a drink offering upon the sacrificial offering of your faith, I am glad and rejoice with you all. And then some of Paul's final words in 2 Timothy 4:6, Paul says, For I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure has come. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Well, you can see why the series title is called Faithfully Suffering for the Gospel. Paul obviously suffered on his time on this earth. Paul also talks about two types of suffering, and I just want to draw the difference out between the two because we'll be talking about one of them today and not the other one. Paul uses the term various trials a lot. He says these various trials we will all face because of our mortality or finiteness or the presence of sin in this world. These various trials can range from the screeching noise on a chalkboard to a trial that has a deep darkness that takes away our feeling, or a trial that takes away our physical health. These various trials are the hard in our lives, and it is usually only in the hindsight that we can see the loving hand of our Father at work in our lives. From Paul, we have many instructions on what to do with these various trials. In James 1:2, Paul says, "Count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds. For you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness. And let steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing." In 1 Peter 1:6, Paul says, "In this you rejoice, though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been grieved by various trials, so that the tested genuineness of your faith, more precious than gold, that perishes though it is tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ." Those various trials are purposeful and orchestrated by the good and sovereign hand of God for our good and his glory. But Paul is not writing about these types of suffering here in 2 Timothy. Paul is writing to Timothy about the kinds of suffering Jesus refers to in John 15. John 15:18, Jesus says, "If the world hates you, know that it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world, the world would love you as its own. But because you're not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. Remember the word that I said to you, a servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you." Just like the disciples suffered for the gospel, so Timothy, if he remains faithful to the gospel. You just observed the last words of both Jesus and Paul. They call those closest to them to suffer for the gospel. 2 Timothy 1:8, Paul says, "Therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony about our Lord, nor of me, his prisoner, but share in suffering for the gospel by the power of God." In this verse, we're going to reference a lot today, 2 Timothy 3:12. We also will suffer if we follow Jesus. The verse says, "Indeed, all who desire to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted." Here in 2 Timothy 2, verses 1 through 7, will be our text today. Timothy, as we read these final urgent and loving instructions from a spiritual father, Paul, to Timothy, we find the needed truth and hope to faithfully suffer for the gospel. If you turn into 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 through 7, in page 995 in your Bible in the chair back, 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 through 7 is what we'll be reading. Paul says, "You then, my child, be strengthened by the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And what you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, witnesses. Entrust the faithful men who will be able to teach others also. Share in suffering as a good soldier of Christ Jesus. No soldier gets entangled in civilian pursuits, since his aim is to please the one who enlisted him. An athlete is not crowned unless he competes according to the rules. It is the hardworking farmer who ought to have the first share of his crops. Think over what I say, for the Lord will give you understanding in everything. Let's just pray before we get started here. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this body of believers. I thank you for our ability to worship your name. Lord, I thank you for the gospel, the good news of your Son, Jesus, living a perfect life and then dying for my sin and then resurrecting and then being up in heaven and sending your Holy Spirit to just help us through some of these hard things in our life, through some of these sufferings. Lord, I just ask that you would calm our hearts, that you would open our hearts to being able to understand the truth that Paul is sharing with Timothy. Lord, that we would then correctly go out into the world and share the gospel. And Lord, even that in doing so, we would suffer for the gospel. In your Son's precious name, amen. The title for the sermon today is Strength and Encouragement When We Suffer for the Faith. Strength and Encouragement When We Suffer for the Faith. I have 4 points today that I'll share with you now. If you want to write them down, or I'll outline them as we go. Point number one is also verse number one. Be strengthened by the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Be strengthened by the grace that is in Christ Jesus. The second point is also in verse 2. Entrust the gospel to faithful individuals. Entrust the gospel to faithful individuals. Our third point is share. Share in the suffering for the gospel. Verses 3 through 6. Share in the suffering for the gospel. And our final point this morning is think about these things. Think about these things, verse 7. Starting at our first point, be strengthened by the grace that is in Christ Jesus, comes right out of verse 1. Timothy says in verse 1, you then, my child, be strengthened by the Christ that is in that by the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Why does Paul begin 2 Timothy 2? With this command, to be strengthened? Well, Paul knows that every person who desires to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. He says this in 2 Timothy 3:12, indeed, all who desire to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. Every faithful servant of Jesus will share in suffering for the name of Jesus in one way or another. Humanly speaking, we don't like to think about suffering for the gospel. Our hearts ache when a new believer goes home to their spouse and is told to pick your Jesus or pick this marriage. We don't like to think about brothers and sisters being beaten and jailed abroad. We don't at the end of the service say, hey, we're going to have a small pep rally in the back. And I get in the middle, and we all put our fists together, and we say, on a count of three, one, two, three, suffer for the gospel, and then go out and do life. We don't like the idea of suffering, is my point. But we have Paul telling us in 2 Timothy 3:12, that all who desire a godly life in Christ will be persecuted. The good news is that we are not to walk through suffering in our own strength, but to be strengthened by the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Amen? We are commanded to have the grace of God do the work to us. I've often failed by having the thought that I can pick myself up or I just need to recharge my suffering batteries versus God strengthening me by his grace in Christ Jesus. Who is the subject of this strengthening? Well, it's Timothy, and it's us today are the subjects being acted on. The work is being done to us. When we find ourselves suffering for the gospel and desperate for strength, we know that we can be strengthened by the grace that is in Christ Jesus. So for Paul to be in prison, knowing that his days were numbered, and still be encouraging Timothy with this letter, he was obviously not operating in his own strength. He would have failed. He was being strengthened by the grace that is in Christ Jesus. My observation has been that those suffering for the gospel who are being strengthened by the grace in Christ Jesus, they are content with their earthly situation and focused on the gospel. In college, I had a friend named Miguel, and on Fridays, me and Miguel would go to the local jail, and we would share the gospel with the men there. And one week, Miguel was talking to this man, and the man was excited, and he said, I think I almost have it. And we had to leave between, you know, certain hours. And the man said, would you please come back next week? And Miguel's like, yeah, we come back every week. The man said to Miguel, can I have your Bible to read this week? Miguel's like, absolutely. And Miguel gave him his Bible. And the following week we returned, and the man had just read the New Testament over and over, and he was ready to trust in Jesus. And it was such an exciting moment, and I had kind of moved down to talk to some of the other men down there. And I looked down, and as Miguel is sharing talking to this man about trusting in Jesus, the men on either cell of this man were screaming and spitting at Miguel and were throwing disgusting wet toilet paper, just covering Miguel. And I looked over expecting to see Miguel distressed or afflicted in this suffering. Miguel was not. He was smiling, and this man was trusting the Lord. And it was just such a beautiful picture to me of how Miguel was being strengthened in this trial. He was not afflicted. He was being strengthened by God. How will you hold up when this sort of suffering comes your way? By your own strength? No, your strength will fail. You must be strengthened by the grace that accepted you on the basis of Christ's righteousness and keeps you in his love. What then does it mean to be strengthened by the grace that is in Christ Jesus? It means to abide day by day in the gospel that saves and sanctifies us. Well, how do I abide daily in this gospel? Well, we have to meditate on God's saving work. One of these works is 2 Timothy 1:9. The God who saved us and called us to a holy calling, not because of our works, but because of his own purpose and grace, which he gave us in Christ Jesus before the ages began, and which now has been manifested through the appearing of our Savior, Christ Jesus, who abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. These are the things that we meditate on. Well, we are strengthened not just to endure suffering for the faith, but also to pass along the faith through the message of the gospel, through evangelism and discipline. And this is our second point, to entrust the gospel to faithful individuals. Verse 2, Paul says, and what you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. The word entrust means to give for safekeeping. Timothy's work was a little different than ours. He was sent to raise up elders in the church who would guard and teach the gospel. Well, we are not all called to raise up elders. We are all called to raise up disciples and are charged to guard the gospel and share it without changing it. So evangelism and discipline will lead to rejection and suffering for the faith. So we are in need of encouragement. Brings me to our third point. Share in suffering for the gospel, verses 3 through 6. Verses 3 through 6, Paul says, share in sufferings as a good soldier of Christ Jesus. No soldier gets entangled in civilian pursuits, since his aim is to please the one who enlisted him. Verse 5, an athlete is not crowned unless he competes according to the rules. And then verse 6, it is the hardworking farmer who ought to have the first share of crops. Now we come to the reason why we are in need of strength. Here Paul commands Timothy to share in suffering as a soldier. Timothy is not alone, as every faithful servant of Jesus will share in suffering for the name of Jesus in one way or another. It could come through rejection, verbal or physical attack, or the cultural shame of identifying with those who are persecuted. The idea is that no good soldier gets entangled in civilian pursuits, since his aim is to please the one who enlisted him to achieve the objective. And the objective is to share the gospel to Ephesus. If you remember, Paul had lots of helpers like Demas who got entangled in this world and left Paul during his ministry. As soldiers, us today, it is easy to get entangled in this world, isn't it? In America, our soldiers are all abroad, and so we don't see them much. And it's easy for us to forget that we are soldiers for our King and that we have an objective, which is to share the gospel. I want you to remember that the Creator of this world created you in His image. And He designed you to be the whole package for a very specific gospel suffering He designed you for. He made you, and He did not make a mistake. Paul is a great example. As he persecuted believers for the gospel and then became the object of that suffering. The object of that persecution and suffered. Most of us are not called to suffer years in jail or death for the gospel. But God is working in your heart. And has given you the opportunities in your everyday rhythms of life that you are designed and orchestrated by God to give out the good news of the gospel. Verse number 5. An athlete is not crowned unless he competes according to the rules. Paul is saying, don't be like your opponents who break the rules by twisting the gospel. Just like an athlete who breaks the rules will not win the prize, so Timothy's opponents will not win the prize of seeing Jesus face to face by believing and teaching a false gospel. Instead, hold on to the gospel as it was given to you, knowing that it will carry you to the prize of seeing Jesus face to face. Verse 6, it is the hardworking farmer who ought to have the first share of the crops. Remember that ministering the gospel includes a lot of plodding along and waiting. Persecution is often inglorious, and waiting around for the fruit of discipleship is hard. But as Paul knew, God gives growth. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 3:6, I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the growth. That growth will always be satisfying to Timothy and will be to you as the first fruits are to the farmer. We come to our fourth point now. Paul says to Timothy to think about these things. Point number four. Verse 7, Paul says, think over what I say, for the Lord will give you understanding in everything. When Paul was writing this letter to Timothy, he knew that Timothy was already suffering for the gospel and would likely die for the gospel. Paul does not offer false encouragements to Timothy, as this would not be loving Timothy well. No, Paul offers Timothy these true encouragements. He says, Timothy, be strengthened by the grace that is in Christ Jesus. That was in verse 1. The end, Paul says, the Lord will give you understanding. Paul also gave these three examples. The good soldier who suffers for the objective, an athlete who competes fairly and is crowned, and the hardworking farmer who gets to enjoy the fruits of his labor. Paul wanted Timothy to keep his source of strength and encouragement at the front of his mind. Just as the Spirit would give the apostles the words to proclaim the gospel, so Paul knew that God would give Timothy understanding in the moment as he kept his source of strength and reasons for encouragement in the front of his mind. Like the Apostle Paul, how can we help each other think on our strength and find encouragement? Well, we can recite a Bible verse to each other. We can read a verse. We can text a verse to one another. We can weep with those who are suffering, whether in various trials or for the gospel. We can pray for each other. We can pray with each other. We can also be with each other in community. I'd like to, as we close, just read this letter that Paul gave to Timothy one more time. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 through 7. Paul says, you then, my child, be strengthened by the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And what you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. Share in suffering as a good soldier of Christ Jesus. No soldier gets entangled in civilian pursuits since his aim is to please the one who enlisted him. An athlete is not crowned unless he competes according to the rules. It is the hardworking farmer who ought to have the first share of the crops. Think over what I say, for the Lord will give you understanding in everything. Let's pray. Lord, I just thank you so much for preserving the book of Timothy, for just these stories that Paul gives us of his suffering, and yet how he was able to have joy and how he was able to trust you. And Lord, just as we today suffer in many different ways than Paul does through various trials, Lord, I just ask that we would also be willing to suffer for the gospel, that we would trust you and share the good news to those that you have put in our lives. And that, Lord, we would be willing to suffer for your name. In your son's name, amen.